No better time than a weekend like this when we look at the price that's been paid for the freedom we enjoy in this country, for so many that have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. As we look at Memorial Day tomorrow, I think it's only fitting that this morning we take a few minutes, and the message this morning is going to be centered around this thought, remembering the price for freedom. Remembering the price for freedom. I'm afraid oftentimes as Americans, I think we often are the worst, because usually those that have the most are the least thankful for it. And undoubtedly, as Americans, we have the most. Even those of us in this congregation that have the least have more than most. And it does us well to stop once in a while and just consider the cost that we didn't pay for the freedom that we all enjoy. It's amazing how often, even on a day like Memorial Day, we don't even truly understand what it's all about. It's not Veterans Day. It's not a time that we just remember all our servicemen. This is the time we stop and consider those that have died for our freedom. In the Revolutionary War, there was 25,000 men that gave their lives to separate from the tyranny of England. In the War of 1812, over 15,000 gave their life. In the Civil War, we lost the most because all were Americans. 625,000 men lost their lives in a four-year span. World War I, 116,516 lost their lives. World War II, 405,399 men gave their lives to fight against three crazy men. Korean War, 36,516. Vietnam, 58,209. And to date, on the War on Terror, 6,717 men that we know of have lost their lives in defense of our freedom. Which brings the total just in those wars to over 1,288,357 men and women have died for our freedom. Thomas Campbell said, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." And as we stop this weekend and we take time to remember all the men that have been lost, I would doubt that there is more than a handful of families in here that have not been touched on some level with death in regards to the freedom we get to enjoy on a daily basis. As much as America has a rich heritage of men that were willing and continue to be willing, and women now, to fight and to die even for our country, we would be remiss if we would only consider those that have given their life in the defense of our physical freedom. And we wouldn't take time this morning to stop and remember that precious Lamb of God who gave His own life to grant us the ultimate freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from hell, and freedom from Satan. And this morning, if we could just take a few minutes, I'd like to draw a comparison between those fallen heroes that have given us freedom in of our own country and how Jesus Christ has taken their sacrifice to the next level. And how Jesus Christ has given the ultimate sacrifice, gave the ultimate sacrifice to give each of us the opportunity to have salvation this morning. And if we could look at their death, and if we could stop just for a moment this morning and remember the cost of the freedom that we have and the freedom we can enjoy, I think it would help us greatly. John chapter number 8 this morning. John chapter number 8. And also, you put your finger there, we also are going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. John chapter number 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you would, when you find your place, stand in reverence of the Word of God. John chapter 8, we will begin there, and then we will go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. You see, this idea of remembering those that have died for the sake of freedom is not necessarily even a man-made or even man-thought-up tradition. This was something God told us to do, even in the Word of God, regarding the death of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse number 32 is where we'll begin. The Bible says there, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free." A verse that is often misquoted in society even today. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall not set you free, make you free." They answered him, talking about the Pharisees there that Jesus and the Jews that Jesus is talking to. "We be Abraham's seed," and here's an out and out lie, "and we were never in bondage to any man." Anybody that knows anything about the history of Israel knows that is a lie. They were in bondage at that very moment to the Romans. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They're living in denial, self-justification. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And here's an amazing couple of verses here, verse 35 and 36. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever." Can we just break that down real quickly? He's simply saying, servitude to sin can be temporary, but sonship through Jesus Christ is permanent. He's saying the servant will probably not always be a servant, but a son is always a son. And he follows it up, verse 36, "If the Son therefore," capital S-O-N, "shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and John 8. We saw that there is freedom through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He said in John 14, "I am the way, the what? The truth." And he says, "The truth shall what? Make you free." That's a direct reference to himself. He's saying, "I can make you free." Not only the truth, the words of truth, but that I am the truth. And by me ye can be free. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a very common verse for anybody that has ever had communion. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Here it is. "This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," what's the purpose of it? "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So as we think about the deaths that were given in light of our freedom as Americans, let's take a few minutes this morning and look, as Jesus Christ even commanded us through the avenue of communion, the ordinance of communion, the very sake, the very reason that we take and partake of communion is the idea that we are supposed to look back. We're supposed to remember the death, the ultimate sacrifice that was paid by Jesus Christ. Why? For the freedom that we enjoy spiritually through the death of Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we come this morning. Ask Brother Gammas to pray for us, please. Man, you may be seated. A phrase that many of us have seen many times, may we never forget that freedom isn't what? Free. And that is so true, not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. So often we neglect the idea that the freedom we enjoy, it costs somebody greatly. In 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." How? Because he what? Laid down his life for us. And here we get the direct correlation to the Memorial Day weekend. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus Christ even says in 1 John, he says, hereby we know the love of God because he laid down our life. And how often we overlook the love, maybe not for us personally because they didn't know us, but so many of our servicemen and women laid down their lives, maybe not love for us, maybe it was love for their own family, maybe love for, but they laid down their lives for our freedom. Yes. The first thing I want to look about this death this morning is this death was a priceless death. We gain freedom from the sacrifice of another giving everything. What is the price tag placed on the head of a human life? How much would someone have to give you this morning in order for you to sacrifice your child for their life? How can you go to a mother or a father or a husband or a wife and say, "Here's some money to take and to pay back what your service man, brother, wife, husband gave when they died. Here's some money." What kind of price can you put on that? There is no price. It was a priceless debt. You can't put a price tag on the name, and there's no way you can pay back in money the sacrifice that was spent when that person died in defense of our freedom. It cannot be purchased. The same is with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 8, verse 37, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we know in the context it's talking about how so many today are taking and are exchanging their soul for the trivialities of this life. They're taking their soul and they are exchanging it for the modern conveniences of a fleshful and a life filled with the works of the flesh. And the Bible says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In the idea that you could have the whole world, but if you lose your own soul, what does it benefit? But can we use the flip side of that in saying, what is the price of a human soul? I'll tell you the price of a human soul. It's the blood of a spotless person called Jesus Christ. That was the price. And may I remind you, that is a priceless gift. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 18. 1 Peter chapter number 18. Did I say chapter 18? You're going to be looking for that for a while. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Some of you thought, "Man, I downloaded the wrong Bible. There's no 18 on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18. "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed." What's redeemed mean? It means to be cleared by payment. Cleared by payment. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I think a lot of times we've got to stop and consider that the gift that was given in order for us to experience the freedom through a spiritual avenue through Jesus Christ, it was a priceless gift, a gift that cannot be purchased with gold and with silver. It cannot be purchased with traditions and with religion. It cannot be purchased with works. It cannot be purchased with baptism. It cannot be purchased with a morally lived life. It can only be purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is a priceless death that was given. Acts chapter 20 verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." I don't know about you, but I am really glad that 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ somehow considered that this priceless gift, his own life, was worth it for me. Not only was this, we must remember the death of our Savior and its pricelessness, we must also remember that this death, take time to consider this death in spite of our being worthless. Not only was this death priceless, but consider it in spite of our being worthless. How many of you would be able to stand here today in memory of our fallen comrades and say, I don't know about you, but my freedom, what I get to enjoy, it was worth the cost. How many of us would be bold enough, proud enough, to be able to stand and say, the freedoms I enjoy, your death was worth it. Go to a mother and go to a father that's lost their son and say, just wanted you to know, my freedom was worth it. I know you paid the ultimate price. None of us would be so foolish. None of us would, in all honesty, would be able to stand and look at a soldier that has died and now over a million that have died for our freedom and say, the cost, I was worth it. None of us would dare do that. But let's take it into the spiritual realm. And we have people that on a daily basis, when considered and when presented with the price that Jesus Christ paid, they stand there and say, I know he may have done that, but I don't need that. I don't need that. I consider that price, I'm worth it. We did very little to gain our freedom. And most of us in here this morning have done less to keep it. May I remind you this morning, whether you're saved, whether you've trusted Christ or you have not, you did nothing to get it, and you can do nothing to keep it. That freedom that's given through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, you did nothing to get it. You can do nothing to keep it. It was something that Jesus Christ did in spite of ours being worthless. The Bible tells us, for by grace, unmerited favor, for by grace are you saved through faith. In John chapter 8, these Jews are standing before Jesus Christ and they're basically saying, we do not need you. Jesus Christ is standing there and saying, I have freedom and I will give it to you through the truth. I will give it to you through my blood. And the Jews are standing and saying, we're already free. We already have everything we need. Maybe that's you there this morning. You're standing in Jesus Christ and you're looking at the blood that was shed for you 2,000 years ago. You're looking at the death that he paid for you and you're looking at him and saying, I don't need that. I have what I need spiritually. I have what I need to get to heaven. I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. I have my works. I have my tradition. I have my baptism. I have my church. I have my Bible. I can tell you right now, there's nothing that's going to gain you access into heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are not worthy of it, but Jesus Christ, in his grace, has given it. Romans 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace, not because of your worth. Acts chapter 15, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. If you would go with me to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. May I remind you this morning that the debt Jesus Christ paid on the cross, he paid despite your being worthless. That means you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't purchase it, you can't gain it, except it is what? Given to you. That is why so often in Scripture it's talked about as a free gift. I've often wondered, why do we say free gift? Because as humans, we have very few free gifts. We almost always either receive or give gifts with some sort of string attached. We don't say it, but we're human. We don't have the purest motives all the time. I'm not saying we don't ever do that. Obviously, when you give a gift to a two-year-old, you have no intention of getting anything in return. That is one selfless gift, because they're not going to give you anything back but grief. And once in a while, a kiss or a smile, and you think, oh, I love them so much. And then the next minute, you know what they're going to give you. And it isn't a gift. But this gift that Jesus Christ gave not only was a gift, we define it even greater as it was a free gift. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. There's a free word. What's that word? Freely. Chapters 22, at the very end of the Word of God, one of the last things stated in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Where's that word again? What is it? Freely. I know this. It's a good thing that that gift was freely given, because of with my worth, I have nothing to purchase it. I have nothing but debt. And Jesus Christ had nothing but extra. What a wonderful combination that is. Not only should we remember the death in that it was priceless, in that we were worthless, but that this death was selfless. You know, our servicemen that have died in defense of our freedom had not really much chance of anything in return. Especially in the fact that they died. And was selfless. They gave it all. And maybe their motives weren't always pure. But it was a selfless death. They may not have known our names, our stories. They don't know our needs. But they still laid their lives on the line for love of country and to pass on the fact that we have freedom. It was a selfless death. But then when we look and pause to consider Jesus Christ and his death, it takes the fact of being selfless to another level. Because Jesus Christ got nothing out of the bargain except grief. He came to this earth and lived on a sin-cursed earth for 32-3 years. Got nothing out of that except a lot of pain and heartache. And then paid a price on a cross of Calvary that is hard for us to even fathom. First John chapter number 4. First John chapter number 4. Verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, he didn't come because we loved him. He didn't come because we were going to give anything back. He came because he loved us. And because of that ultimate love that he had for us, it's amazing the sacrifice he made. And as much as our servicemen, they don't know our names, they don't know our needs, they don't know anything about us, and they gave their life. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he did know our names. He does know our needs. He does know. And you know what's even more amazing about it? How many of our servicemen, Revolutionary War, how many of them died knowing the freedom that they died for would be in the condition it is today? How many, even in World War I and World War II, would have laid down the finest generation this country may have ever had in World War II and laid down their lives in that horrible war, knowing 60, 70 years down the road what this country would be? How many of them would still lay down their lives? I dare say it would have been far fewer. But Jesus Christ, as in all things, does even more. You see, Jesus Christ knew how we would trample his death under our feet. He knew how we would take the grace of God and we would step on it and we would trample it down and we would reject it time and time again, and how we would sin against his holy name. And even after we were saved, he knew what kind of Christian we would become. And still he paid the price on the cross of Calvary. I dare say that was a selfless death. Because he knew he wasn't going to get a good bargain when he got us. He knew he wasn't going to get committed Christians. He knew we'd fall down more than we would rise up. But yet still he gave. Why? Because he loved us. So as we stop and consider the death that was paid for our spiritual freedom, when was the last time you stopped to say thank you? When was the last time your life and the actions of your life were something that would say, God, thank you, this is my feeble way of giving back for the ultimate price you paid for me? Last but certainly not least, and this is one that we cannot attribute, sadly, to our fallen comrades, and this belongs solely to Jesus Christ, his death was timeless. We are watching our freedoms one by one slip away in our country. And the closer and the harder we look, the more depressing it becomes. And as we watch the freedoms that these men died for be obliterated by the millions of abortions that take place under the name of freedom, as it is horribly abused. And we could go on for the rest of the day talking about how our freedoms in this country have been abused to allow this and allow this and allow that, of which it was never meant to allow. Our freedoms are slipping away, and it's only a matter of time before they're gone. Because the freedom that you can get on this earth is temporary, because it's man-made. And yes, I believe that God was instrumental in allowing our freedom to take place. Don't get me wrong. I believe in all that. I believe God had a hand in that. I believe God raised up America to try to reach the world because England wasn't doing it. I believe all that, and that's for another time. But it was still something that man orchestrated, and man is governing it, and it's fading away rapidly. But may I remind you this morning that the freedom through Jesus Christ is not temporary. It is eternal. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. We're very familiar with several verses in here, but I'd like to tie a couple of these this morning together as we close things up this morning, and seeing how this death was not only selfless, and not only was it given though we were worthless, but it was given and it is timeless. It is eternal. Verse number 17 of Romans chapter 6. But God be thanked. That's what we want to remember this morning. God be thanked. Amen. That you were, I love that word when it shows up, were the servants of sin. I love in Corinthians where it lives a whole long, know ye not that these and these and these and these and these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pastor just quoted it last week or the week before. I love verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such what? Were some of you. I love that. And this is what he's drawing that conclusion here. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. But they, being then made, here's that word, free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Here's the verses we want to look at. What fruit had ye then, and those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What are the fruits of the works of the flesh? Not pleasant. The Bible answers the question in the end of verse 21. For the end of those things is death. But now, being made, where it is? Free. From sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, here it is. What is it? Everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what is? Eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I remind you this morning that the ultimate price that was paid for Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, it is a timeless death. It is for eternity. It is for everlasting. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't go away. And now we can certainly see it, and we certainly mar it, and we certainly make it look not as good as it should at times. But I'm telling you that the freedom through Jesus Christ, and when we live in that freedom, it is an eternal freedom and an everlasting freedom. Hold your finger in Romans chapter 16, if you or 6, if you would go over to 1 Peter again. But you see, freedom can be abused. Just as we've seen it in our own country, it's being abused on a daily basis. Freedom through Christ is also being abused today. People have taken this freedom and they have misinterpreted what Christ actually meant. They have misconstrued the principles of the Word of God, and they have claimed that this freedom, Jesus Christ, gives you the freedom to live like the devil and live in sin, and then just, it's okay because I'm free in Jesus Christ. Well, I have something to tell you this morning. The Bible has something to say about that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the what? Liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with what? The yoke of bondage." Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5 says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Isn't it amazing how the Bible answers the problems of the world? We even get more clarity when we go to 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible tells us, "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness." Peter's warning the Christians, saying, you have freedom in Jesus Christ. Yes, he's given you liberty through the blood of Jesus Christ. He even talks in James, and I won't get into what it all means. It's so amazing. If you look at it in James 1:25 and 2 verse 12, it calls it the law of liberty. In chapter 1 verse 25 of James, it even calls it the perfect law of liberty. And it's a direct reference to the gospel. This liberty that's given to us through Jesus Christ. But Peter warns us, hey, do not use this liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, this is what we really want to look at. This is such a tremendous passage, so clear in highlighting the misconceptions of liberty in the society in which we live today. Verse number 17, picking up the context, "These are wells without water," talking about false teachers. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about false teachers that are rising up. "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried away with the tempest, to whom the midst of the darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." Here we go. "While they promise them," what? "Liberty." What does it say about them? "They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled." Back what it said in Galatians 5:1, "therein and overcome." The latter end, here what the Bible says, "is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Verse 22, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." What's the Bible's answer to those that stand and say, "We have liberty in Christ, which means I can live the way I want, and we have liberty and grace in Christ. Therefore, go and you can determine what the Bible means. Go and establish your own righteousness. We claim Jesus Christ's death for eternity, but we can live like the devil on this earth." May I tell you that Jesus Christ says, they offer you a liberty, but they themselves are what? The servants of corruption, which the Bible says is worse than the first. Beware, beware of those that come who are false teachers and saying this liberty gives you a way out. Amen. If you would go back to Romans chapter 6, we'll end there. Romans chapter 6. It's amazing, right? We're back where we started. I'll just quote it while you're going back to Romans 6. But in John chapter 8, verse 34, we read this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the what? Servant of sin." Can I ask you this? How is it that every time they offer you liberty, it comes with servanthood? I don't know about you, but the idea of a servant does not bring up thoughts of liberty and freedom. They don't seem to go together. And that's literally what the Bible is saying. When you use this liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, when you use this liberty as a way to do what you want, the Bible says you are sending yourself. You are telling them, put the chains back on. I know the chains are off. I know I've been freed. I know I've been purchased. I know I have been bought with the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? I'm missing the chains. I'm missing the bondage. I'm missing the fact that I can't make a choice. I'm missing the fact that I don't know what to do. I need servanthood again. And that's a shame today that people are experiencing the freedom that only comes in Jesus Christ and then running back to bondage. That's why Paul recommends or challenges us in Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Why was he saying stand fast? Because if you look in chapter 4 of Galatians chapter 4, what he is saying, it is a correlation between Sarah and Hagar, how Hagar was a product of the works of the flesh, and Sarah was a representation of the works of the Spirit. And Hagar is called what? The bond woman. And Sarah is claimed as the free woman. And when he gets done telling you, Sarah represents freedom because it's the works of the Spirit. Hagar represents bondage because it's the work of the flesh. And then Paul in Galatians chapter 5 says, stand fast, therefore. You know why he's saying stand fast? He says, because you're going to be tempted to stray. You're going to be tempted to use this liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. We have a wonderful freedom that was given us through Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. But I wonder how many, even this morning, are losing sight of the freedom that Jesus Christ gave. You ask this morning, well, how is it that we can make sure not to abuse this liberty in Christ? I'm glad you asked. It's real easy. Remember the price that was paid. Amen. You know why we lose sight of the freedoms? You know why we abuse the freedoms as Americans? Because we've lost sight of the cost that was paid. And you know why, as Christians this morning, we start to abuse this liberty and freedom that we have gotten from Jesus Christ and his death? Because we have lost sight of the horribleness that Jesus Christ endured, of the price that he paid, and the stripes that he bore, and the thorn of crowns on his brow, and the sin of our sin that was placed on him. And when we lose sight and we fail to remember the price that was paid, we will soon take for granted the liberty we gain through that awful price. Christian, this morning, when was the last time you stopped to consider the price that was paid? When was the last time we stopped to consider the awful price and consider, am I doing my best to give back and say thank you with my life? Maybe there's someone here this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You don't know what it's like to experience the freedom and the peace that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know what it's like. You live in constant turmoil through the lust and the seeds of sin in your life. May I say this morning, may I recommend this morning that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for your sin, and he has already purchased the redeeming price placed on your soul. It's been paid for, it's been bought, and it's only up to you to accept this free gift. Call the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. And you can remember, and you can stop, and you can consider the price that was paid for eternity in heaven.